The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brother, with the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost beginning this evening, I would like if you would start this sermon today by going with me to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. It would have been like flaming crowns upon their head is what it is. And as people would have been talking to them, they would have been able to have seen this. That would have been a sight to behold. And of course, what we are seeing is the outpouring or the coming of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the Church of God. True believers of Jesus Christ are now being filled with the Holy Spirit. So, brethren, as we wait for Pentecost to fully come, let's take a look at the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, and let's also see what this has to do with us, the Church of God, today. I have simply entitled this sermon as The Same Spirit. First of all, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to see some of the promises of the Holy Spirit. And we want to look here in the New Testament. And so with that in mind, I want us to begin by looking at some statements made by John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist spoke of one who was coming that would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he also says, and with fire. We're not focusing on the and fire. We're focusing on with the Holy Spirit. So go with me to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Now, John the Baptist was considered to do a baptism unto repentance. That's what it says later in the book of Acts. But it says, baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Not looking there, but in Luke 3, verse 16, and John 1 and verse 33, they both say the same thing. So we can see from Scripture what we just read here, that John the Baptist administered a baptism of water. And he is stating very clearly that one is going to come following him. He's not worthy to even deal with his shoes, is what it says. Sandals would have probably been a better word. Who would be coming, who would be an administrator of a baptism with the Holy Spirit. This promise was made to large crowds. Only, brethren, only in its fulfillment can we determine its full extent. Because that hasn't ended yet. The outpouring of God's Holy Spirit started on the day of Pentecost, but it has continued to go on all of these some 2,000 years, and is continuing to go on. And before we have finished, we're going to see very soon in this particular sermon that it continues on through the last great day. Now, we know that what this is saying is that it somehow is tied into the events of Pentecost that we just read back in the beginning here in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, if you would go with me to Acts chapter 1, and here we're going to see some words of Jesus Christ. We also should know, I think we all do know, that this was 10 days prior to the coming of Pentecost. So go with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, there's a parenthetical statement here, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, Jesus said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Okay. Let's look at some things Jesus taught about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Notice with me in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus had stated that the Holy Spirit would be given to those who ask for it of the Father. You also can see the parallel account is in Matthew 7. We're not going to Matthew 7, but let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse 13. Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So we know part of receiving this outpouring of the Holy Spirit has to be this coupled with us asking the Father. Jesus also made some other statements. So another statement that he made about the Spirit would be given as living water. And he states, to all those who thirst and come to him in faith and drink. And drink. So let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. Now we know this is on the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So this is what I was saying earlier. We're going to see that the outpouring of the Spirit continues to go all the way through, at least through the last great day, which doesn't end. And so John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We know this is a future event of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is the last great day. This living water that he is referring to is probably what is being referred to as the gift of God that Jesus refers to, speaks about earlier here in John chapter 4. So let's go back to John chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered in and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. From whence then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water, of this well that I'm asking you to give me a drink from, he doesn't say that, but this is what he is saying, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Wow, what a promise. So we also see that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit has the promise connected to eternal life. Now, with this in mind, I want you to hold your place here in the book of John, and please go with me back in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah 44, where we will see Isaiah's promise, where he makes a comparison of the Spirit to water. So let's go back to Isaiah 44, beginning in verse 1. Isaiah 44, verse 1. Yet now hear you, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord, that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon you that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the river courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall ascribe with him with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. So here in the book of Isaiah, which was written about 750 B.C., a long time prior to Jesus Christ coming, and therefore a long time prior to the statement that we just read back in John 4. Now, while we're here in the book of Isaiah 44, I want us to notice some things that are included in this prophecy. The first thing we notice is that God is saying that he's pouring out his Spirit upon Israel's descendants. We see that in verse 3. And then another thing that we see is the connecting the promise of the Spirit with the figure of water given to those who are thirsty. We read that back in the New Testament in John chapter 7. Verses 37 through 39, the last great day. So we know that the promise of this Holy Spirit was given way back when. So they're looking forward to it. So here the day of Pentecost is fully come, and the Spirit is poured out at that time upon masses, upon multiple numbers of people all at one time. Okay, let's go back to the book of John. This time we go to John chapter 14. And we're going to notice what Jesus stated to his disciples, to his apostles or his disciples. Jesus promised the Spirit of truth would be a helper and it would abide with them, and that it would bring to their remembrance all things that Jesus had taught them. Now, that's a good thing. That's the Holy Spirit. This is more of this promise of the Holy Spirit that was poured out, that fully came on Pentecost. John 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. I will pray, or I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that it may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees it not, neither knows it. But you know it. In other words, you know the Holy Spirit. For it dwells with you and shall be in you. We're seeing here there is a difference with the Holy Spirit being with you as compared to the Holy Spirit being in you. The first one is it walks alongside to help. The Greek word parakletos is not that important, but it means to walk alongside like a helper. It would be like somebody carrying your tools for you. You're a worker. Is helping you walk along. That's how that word is used. But this one, he says, it is with you, but it's going to be in you. It's going to be inside of you. Now, drop down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What a benefit of having the Holy Spirit within us. Aren't we glad on Pentecost that it was poured out upon to the church? Aren't we glad that we're part of that same church? Yeah, I hope so. It's going to bring to mind the remembrance of all things that Jesus Christ is teaching us. That's through the pages of the Bible. Okay, now, brethren, I want us to notice some other things Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. One of the things that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would do, it was that it would bear witness of Jesus together with the apostles. And we could say apostles / prophets, disciples. But go with me to John 15, John 15, verse 26. I'm going to read this in the NIV. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, it shall testify of me, and you shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So he is talking to, and he's saying to the disciples, once this Holy Spirit is come, and it's going to come on the day of Pentecost, you're going to be able to bear witness. You're going to tell others about what I did. You're going to be able to tell others that. Because it's going to, remember, the Holy Spirit is going to bring to remind them the remembrance of things that Jesus had said. Okay, another thing that Jesus said the Comforter or the Holy Spirit would do is it will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send it upon you or unto you. And when it comes, it will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not of me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He ties all of this in to the Holy Spirit, to the coming of the Holy Spirit. Then another thing Jesus said the Comforter of the Holy Spirit would do would be to guide the apostles, the disciples, into all truth, including things to come. We already saw that he says, you're going to remember the things that I taught you. Now he's saying that that it's going to guide you into all truth, including things that are even yet to come. That hasn't even happened yet. John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear it now. Howbeit, when it, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth. For it shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it shall show you things to come. Because of having the Holy Spirit no longer just with us, but now within us, we're going to be able to understand things that are even yet to happen. Another thing that Jesus said the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would do would be to glorify Jesus by taking of what is his and declaring it to his disciples or his apostles. So go with me to John 16 and verse 14. It shall glorify me, for it shall receive of mine and show you it unto you. So Jesus told his apostles, the disciples, to wait in Jerusalem until that they receive the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Pentecost. Go with me to Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Luke 24 and verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem. In other words, wait in the city until you be endued or be clothed, wrapped around with power from on high. And that's what we were seeing in Acts chapter 2. Two, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and like cloven tongues divided, going into them is what it looked like, fire upon their head. Their hair, like their hair was on fire. Their head was on fire. It would have been like a crown upon their head. We read that earlier, but we saw that same promise stated to them earlier by Jesus on the day that he departed, 10 days before Pentecost. We saw that back at Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. So we're seeing that Jesus clearly connected to the baptism of the Spirit spoken of by John. He's connecting the two together. And I have one more. Jesus said, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit coming. That the disciples of Jesus would receive power and they would be eyewitnesses of what has happened. Now, we didn't see it. We wasn't there in Acts chapter 2. But we're witnesses to it because we can read it and we can testify. This is what it says. And because we believe the Word of God, we believe God in what He says. We know that the Bible is true. We know that this happened. So we can tell people, yes, this is what happened. We know this because the Word of God is true and it's faithful. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this is what he tells them. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. To all the world. Because of the Holy Spirit was going to come. They were going to be clothed with this Holy Spirit. They were going to be able to take the message. We're witnesses of what Jesus Christ spoke, what he did. We were there. We touched. We held him, as John says later. We're witnesses of this because of the Holy Spirit. Now, brethren, let's go back once again to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, Peter ties the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the prophecy of Joel. So here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, Acts 2:14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, because they were wondering. Some earlier they've said, are these men drunk? Because they were doing things that people hadn't seen before. And so it's got to be they're drunk, right? Well, he says, they're not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day or 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So, hold your place here in Acts chapter 2, and let's go back to Joel chapter 2. Let's go back to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And so we know that he's talking about Joel is prophesying that the Holy Spirit was going to come. But he is also extending it not just the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes, but he's extending it all the way back to what Jesus talks about in John 7 with those living waters, the last great day. And Peter sees the connection here because this is the start of it. He isn't saying this is all that Joel is saying, but he does tie it in there. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2. So then Peter, in his sermon here on Pentecost, he speaks of the outpouring of the Spirit as a promise that Jesus received from the Father. Oh, now we're beginning to see something else about this Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 33. Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, Jesus is who he's talking about, and having received up the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus, has shed forth this, he's outpoured this Holy Spirit, which you now see and hear. If you just read it straightforward in the English, just kind of, it doesn't always make a lot of sense. But he's saying, tying this in to Joel, now he's saying, this is the same Spirit that Jesus Christ received from God. And now he is pouring this out upon these men. And that's what you're seeing here. So I think this is a good place, brethren, that we need to ask. What do we learn from this? How does this apply to us as true believers today? How does this apply to us as the church of God today? The point or the lesson is we are promised that we can receive the same gift of the Spirit. It is offered to all who repent and are baptized. We see this in Peter's sermon, continuing on there, still in chapter 2, Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, the men, these people that are hearing it, so what are we supposed to do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This says the promise is to them and to others. Verse 39, Acts 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you. These are the disciples there, and these are those men that are gathered there that are witnessing this. And they're saying, are these guys drunk? And Peter's saying, no, they're not drunk. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is what Joel talked about. This is that same Spirit that Jesus received. It's that same Spirit that he received that he's now pouring it out upon. And this is what you're seeing from this man. And for the purpose for this promise is unto you also, men who are sitting there. And it is promised to your children. And it is promised to all that are afar off. We're part of that afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. John 6:44. Jesus saying, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Father does the calling. Jesus Christ, then, as we're seeing here, both Father and Son can pour out the Holy Spirit, but it looks as if Jesus is given that job of pouring out the Holy Spirit upon those that the Father has called. They come to the point of believing and baptizing and doing that. So here, there are some questions I think that's a good thing for us to ask from this, what Peter is saying. What promise does Peter have in mind? What promise would have immediately come to the mind of those that were hearing that? These people that did not receive the Holy Spirit but are witnessing this, what would have come to their mind? Would it not have been the promise that he just alluded to? The promise received by Jesus and now being poured out by Jesus on his disciples. That's what we just read in chapter 2 and verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus, has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So let's please realize, let's get this. It is the same Spirit that Jesus himself promised to believers, as we read earlier in John 7, verses 37 through 39, it's not yet come. That's the last great day. We also see this promised in the Old Testament. Go back with me to the book of Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32 and verse 15. Isaiah 32 and verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. So he says this is future. Isaiah understood this is future. He understood this. And the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. And judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. This is talking about everlasting life connected to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Go to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So we can see, we read it in Acts 2, verse 39, that the gift of the Holy Spirit is to all. And to the all here, he's referring to Jew and Gentile, as we see here in the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel. That is to all who accept the call of the Father. So this promised Holy Spirit to come, it did come. It came on the Feast of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. But go with me to Acts chapter 2 and let's read verse 39. And we read it. We want to read it again, though. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, brethren, today we wait. We wait for the coming of the Feast of Pentecost. We see a major lesson for us for the Feast of Pentecost is that we have received the same Holy Spirit that was promised to come back in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And we see that we received the same Holy Spirit the apostles had, that they received on that day of Pentecost. And we see we received the same Holy Spirit our Lord and our Master and our Savior Jesus Christ also had. It's the same Holy Spirit. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost, the church was founded. And the members of the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of God, went out into the known occupied world of that day. That's what he says. Tell others about what you are witnesses here in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world. And the Church of God did that. They went to the known occupied world of that day. They were witnesses of what Jesus had done. Therefore, brethren, we as part of the body of Jesus Christ today are to continue to do the same thing. We are to continue what happened on that Feast of Pentecost. And of course, we can. And we can because after all, we have the same Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I'm looking forward to being with many of you tomorrow when the Feast of Pentecost has fully come. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all, brethren. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.